All right, so my Father's Day gift for you all today is to go ahead and let you go home. No, just kidding. It's funny because now I get to say open your bulletin, and I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but some of the scriptures are in there, and there's a reason that I don't put them up, even though last week we did have them up, and we may do that. I'm just waiting to get people's feedback, but I don't want to handicap you by taking away your Bibles from you, but, you know, whatever works for you, so let me know. Today, we're going to first celebrate our dads, so thank you guys. It is challenging, it's tough, I know, because I are one, and there's a lot of things that go on in life that are difficult, and also there's a lot of joys and glorious, so want to just say happy Father's Day to all you guys in the room. You're awesome, and we appreciate you, okay? You believe that? Here's how you know, because we did what I consider, of course, I spent my whole life in California, so what can I say, right? But I mean, I consider it an American favorite, I guess, classic. How many like In-N-Out Burger? All right, so all you guys are going to get some In-N-Out Burger and some red vines to take home, and so that ought to be awesome. Let me just turn this up, and if hopefully that doesn't work, you can figure it out back there. But all right, so we're in a message series called The Pursuit, and we're talking about the endless pursuit for more. In fact, next week, for those of you who are perfectionists, did I just ruin a good thing? Are we good back there? You got it? Okay. I just want to make sure, if you're a perfectionist, that you come next week, because we're going to talk about the elusive pursuit of perfection. But today, I want to talk about something that I think really impacts most of us, and I know that it certainly impacts me, and so we're going to talk about chasing stuff, okay? Money and things, material stuff, and things in this world. And so before we dive in, I just want to get a little bit of help from you guys by asking you a couple of questions. All right, so here we are, a couple of questions first. Let me do this because I don't like the way it sounds now, so sorry. We're getting used to this new mic. Karen, thank you. No, I'm just kidding. How many know that I have probably the best mother-in-law on the planet, right? You all agree with me? And that's good. All right, so just want to say that. I know that Taylor's the only one that would have raised his hand. But anyway, so today I want to talk about this interesting thing, chasing money and stuff. And so we dive in today, and it's no fun without you. So I want to ask you a couple of questions. How many of you would say honestly that you wouldn't mind being rich? I mean, let's just be honest, okay? Everybody, okay. You wouldn't mind being honest. All right, that's awesome. And a lot of hands up, some amens, I'm sure, but I can feel it right now. How many of you would say that you know someone who is rich? All right. And that's always awesome. And I'm wondering, how many of you ever actually looked at someone who you knew was rich and you thought, you know, if I was rich, I could do a much better job at being rich than they could, right? Only this side, that's weird. You guys are all the envious people that are in trouble, all right? Jealousy. We should talk about jealousy, envy. Oh, you're more honest. Okay. Okay, so that's good. Now, I know that's awesome. And it's interesting for me because, I mean, some of us have looked at some people that are rich and we think, oh, man, if I was rich, I could be better because they're, forgive me if this upsets you, but they're stupid rich, right? If I was rich, at least I would be smart rich. And we see, in matter of fact, and I want to buy one of these, but I've seen that Scott Disick has opened a clothing line called Untalented, and I want to get some of that stuff. But he's a boyfriend of one of the Kardashians, and so people always have called him Untalented, and so he started a clothing line, and he's making a lot of money now. But anyway, so who's really untalented, right? Now, this next thing is a little bit more difficult because how many of you in this room would actually say, yeah, I am rich. I am the rich guy. Okay. All right. Some of you read your outline, haven't you? No, just kidding. So just, you can just, you know, I'm sure you're confident with that, but this is what I know, that most of you just said that you're not really rich, but you'd really like to be so. And so this is an interesting thing, because I don't know if you're like me, but there have been times in my life where I have lusted for stuff, more money, more stuff. And if I could just get a little bit more, it's kind of like, you know, where my heart is in some points of my life. And I found out what people say, that this is really cool. For $5 million, okay? Now, I don't want to say that that's not a terribly large amount of money, because how many know that is, right? How many would love to have $5 million right now? But here's the thing. I found out what people say for $5 million, what they would do. And according to this article, 54% of people would listen to country music for the rest of their lives for $5 million. Okay? Now, for some of us, that doesn't seem too bad. Maybe driving around in your honky-tonk vehicle, whatever, probably a really nice one, and just dancing to music, whatever. That's okay. But this one was interesting. 42% of people said that they would have all of their teeth removed to be rich. Yeah. Maybe they're going to buy fake ones or something. Matter of fact, I know someone close to me right now who's waiting in the mail for their teeth to show up. But I'm not going to say who, okay? I promise I won't. So don't try to get it out of me. Really, there's no signals, I'm not going to say. All right? But this is an interesting thing. 42%. Yeah, I'd have all of my teeth removed. And maybe they're just going to buy some fake ones. But also, this is shocking. 50% of the people said that for $5 million, they would allow a random person on the planet to die so that they could have $5 million, which is kind of a scary thought when you think about it. But 50%. And this one was even harder to get my mind around. 24% of the people said that they would live in solitude for the next 20 years for $5 million. Now, that's interesting. I don't know what they would do. I mean, what good is it if you can't enjoy your money with someone else? You know, I don't get it. But anyway, some people, maybe they don't like other people. I don't know. But a Gallup poll did a poll and interviewed a lot of people to find out, what is rich? Maybe you need to know this. In other words, if you want to be rich, at what point do you know that you're actually rich? When do you know that you have enough money and stuff? All right, and so, you know, just that thought, like, okay, I've crossed the line. This is rich. I am rich. What's interesting is that the response varied depending on where someone was. Of course, if you make $30,000 a year, and some of you make a little more, make a little less, whatever it is, but if that's your range, the average person's response was what they needed to be rich was $74,000. So if you notice, it's slightly double what they were making, right? And some of you who make $74,000 might say, well, that doesn't feel very rich. And there are some of you who make $74,000 a year, and, you know, it's not where you're at. But for those of you who make $50,000 a year, those people responded about $100,000, right? Which is, again, it's interesting. That's double what they make. And if you have a couple of kids in a private school and a couple of car payments and a mortgage, I mean, no, you're probably thinking this doesn't really feel rich right now, okay? But that's what people would say that they need. Now, what's fascinating to me is they took the top income earners, so people that are well into six figures, those people, they said, what would it take to be rich? And their average response was $5 million in assets. Then you're rich. So if you're the poor guy that only has $2 million in stuff, then you're just not there yet, and you need to have $5 million to be rich. Now, what I know about you is that you probably don't feel rich right now, and maybe you would like to be, but what do? See, like many of us, we live with this continual pursuit for more. What is rich, though? Rich is a moving line, and I bet there are many of you like me, and I've shared this before because it's totally true. I remember when Serena and I first got married early on in my early 20s, I remember saying to her, Serena, if we could just make $500 a week, we would be so rolling in it. And how many know that came and went, but what I'm about to say is this, that every time you're about to cross that line, what happens? Yeah. Have you noticed that? Like, right when you're just about to jump, the line moves. And then, you know, you get there and you see another line and you get there, and then the line moves. And so what do you need to be happy, to feel rich, to be satisfied in life? And most people would say, well, I'm not quite sure, but I know it's always what? A little bit more, right? And so this is why Jesus talked, he's so much about the right perspective on money and stuff. In fact, in Luke's gospel, you might see it in your outline, Luke chapter 12, 15, he said, watch out. Watch out. And then he says again, be on your guard. In other words, there are two different times. You better be aware, because of this is dangerous. He says, watch out. Be on your guard against what? All kinds of greed. And then Jesus says, because this life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. See, your life, the quality of your life, is not measured by the volume of your stuff. So he says, be on your guard, be very, very careful, because everything in our culture today is shouting at you. You need this. You need more. Again and again, the dominant message you're going to hear from our culture is, what you don't have is what you need in order to be happy and fulfilled in life. What you don't have is what you need. You need more. You need this. You need that. If you finally get what you don't have, then you're going to have what's missing in life. And that's why Jesus said that you have to be on your guard, because your stuff does not consist in the abundance, or your life, excuse me, does not consist in the abundance of your stuff. In fact, Jesus told a very powerful illustration to a rich guy. He talked about this guy in Luke 12, you know, in the story, and he said to this guy who was a rich man who had great harvest. Remember, the guy had a bumper year of crops. He was evidently a farmer, and he kind of had a record year, and he asked, hey, what am I going to do? I've got all this money coming in and all these crops. And the guy says to himself, hey, I know what I'm going to do, self. Here's what you do. Tear down all my barns. That's what I'm going to do. Tear down all my barns, and I'm going to build bigger ones, and then I'll retire early, and I'll take it easy through the rest of my life, just throwing a bunch of parties and stuff. And this is what God said to him in verse 20. It says, you fool, this very night your life will be required of you. Your life will be demanded from you, and then who's going to get what you prepared for yourself? See, this is what he says. This is how we'll be with anyone who stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. We need to be rich towards... See, what's fascinating to me about this story is that God wasn't upset, if you will, mad at this guy for being rich. I mean, think about it. He was a farmer. Who made him rich? God made the guy rich. God gave him the blessings, the bountiful harvest. God was disappointed in this person because he was not rich towards God. He was only rich in the things of this world, but he was missing being rich in the things that mattered most. So with that in mind, I want to tell you some good news. Good news and some bad ones. So what do you guys want first? Good news or the bad news? Okay, well, guess what? We're going to go with the good news because that's what's in my notes, and so I asked you, but you don't really have a choice, so sorry about that. But I asked you, but anyway. So the good news is this, and I hope you're going to understand it's really, really good news. Don't miss this. Okay, shh, be quiet. What is it? Lean in. Here we go. Yes, pay close attention. The good news is you are rich. Amen, that's good news. Somebody say hallelujah, right? It's amazing because we feel guilty, but I asked if you were rich and you said you weren't, but guess what? You are. And some of you clap, but you don't really feel it. You don't really feel rich because you feel like you've got more bills than money, and you're rich, but you don't feel rich. And so when we get a little bit of perspective and we recognize that probably around, check this out, 3 billion people or so on the planet today live on $2 or less a day. So some of you spent a lot more than that, maybe just on a couple of Starbucks coffees on the way over here to church. It starts, you know, to put this perspective, and of course, based on where most people live in the world today, we are very, very rich. In fact, you could often tell how rich you are by what upsets you, right? When you get really upset because your Yeezys didn't show up, it took, some of you don't know what Yeezys are, right? Okay. Kanye West, shoe brand, right? I mean, hey, how many of you got Yeezys in the closet at home? Upset when they don't show up in 2 days instead of 3 days? Mike, no, just kidding. Yes, or your fast food order. Now, a lot of you are going to get this one. A lot of your fast food order, you know, as you drove through the drive-thru, guess what? They didn't give you your dipping sauce. And, you know, your nuggets were there, but you didn't have the dipping sauce, and now you're upset. Or your Netflix, you know, wouldn't connect to your Wi-Fi, or your AirPods, Kenny, you know, you're you have to manually hold the phone to your head, right? Unfortunately. But you can tell if you're rich by what bothers you. And I mean, when I try to step back and I think about it, think about this. Most of us in our pocket, we can play any song in the world on our device. You can play, you can stream a movie, you know, you can play games. When you get hungry, you can drive your car. And how many know that puts you, if you can drive a car, you're in the top 15% of the wealthiest people in the world. And some of us have more than one. If you can drive your car past 14, maybe 22 restaurants to get to your preferred restaurant to have someone else who milks the cow and then caught the fish or cut the head off of the chicken. And sorry to be so violent, but apparently that's what has to happen before you get your chicken salad, okay? But someone else does all that, prepares everything, cooks, feeds, cleans everything, prepares your plate, delivers it to you, puts it, you know, with a little garnish, and you complain because it took 7 minutes. I mean, you got rich people problems, okay? That's how rich most of us are. And the good news is, though, you are rich. And now I know that right now that there are, you know, and maybe people you know, I'm not going to say this because I know that there are people facing extreme, maybe financial issues, medical bills or other issues, divorce, single parent fighting for stay alive, all those kinds of things. I don't want to diminish the reality of your world or of someone you know, because I'm not talking about that. But what I am saying is the majority of people that we know interact with every day, the majority of us, okay, are pretty rich. And if we're going to acknowledge this before God, we have to acknowledge that He is the one who has blessed us. That compared to most people in the world, we are really rich. And then what I want to do is I want to be a good steward of being rich. I want to be rich in a way that honors God. So in order to be good at it, first you have to acknowledge it. And I'd love to for you to just, you know, really say this with me. I am rich. Now, let's say it this way. Let's say it with gratitude. Maybe that will help you, okay? Because I noticed how difficult it was for you to say it. It was difficult for me to say, okay? I mean, I don't know why that even matters. But let's just try it again, but let's say it with gratitude. I am rich. Amen. Because I'm rich. Thank you, Jesus, right? Now, I'm rich. You say it with a smile on your face, and my God has blessed me. And if for a moment you feel a bit uncomfortable saying that, like, you know, I don't want to have my kids hear me say this because we feel a little guilty saying it for any reason, you feel uncomfortable, I want to ask you this question. Why do you think you feel uncomfortable? Why do you think, you know, you might be a little bit embarrassed by the fact that you are rich? If I had said blessed, you'd probably enjoy that more. But why do you think that you might be a little bit apologetic? I mean, I love what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5:19. He said this about God. Moreover, it is God. Okay, so everyone say, it is God. See, when God gives someone wealth, who gives wealth? Our God gives wealth. But I'm a self-made man, Pastor. No, actually, God made you first, and he's given you gifts, and he's given you talent, and he's given you the opportunities and the ability to create wealth. And so you were born in a place where you have more opportunities in the history of the world now more than ever. God is the one behind it. And so when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, I know that to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, I guess, is tough sometimes. So what is this, though? We have to realize this is a gift from God. And so if for a moment you feel embarrassed or you're apologetic or ashamed, ask yourself, in what areas, what other areas of your life are you blessed and embarrassed by the blessing? What other areas of your life? I mean, if someone said to me, hey, you and Serena have a great marriage. I mean, I would first think in my mind, well, obviously you haven't been with us for the last 30 years. Not that it's not great, but we've had our moments, right? But yeah, overall, we've had a great marriage. And so, see, I just did a little bit of what we're talking about. See, the thing is that on the big picture, if someone says, Eddie, you and Serena have a great marriage. I'm not going to say, well, I'm sorry, we really don't, you know. I just say, thank you. And hey, you guys are blessed too, whatever. And see, I'd be like, thank you. Not, well, no, if someone said to you, well, Pastor, you know, because I remember Bev used to always ask me, I don't know why, but do you dye your hair? I don't dye it, but again, what I have noticed is it's fallen out for us faster. Hopefully I'll still be able to dye my head and it'll match. No, I'm just kidding. But the thing is this, you know, hey, I've always said, yeah, thanks. Hey, I was kind of proud of that. You know, I didn't, well, you know, really, it's not that much. It's not me. I didn't really do anything. I didn't apologize. I don't apologize for any other area of blessing. So it's interesting to me that I'm sort of insecure about the fact that I am rich on a biblical and a worldly standard. I am very rich. Now, so you don't apologize for any area of blessing, but in this one, for some reason, we feel so strange about it. And so we need to say it like we mean it. I am rich. My God has blessed me. That's the good news, people. The good news is that you are rich. Now, remember I said you're going to have good news and then bad news. Hey, where are you going? No, no. Good news, and then but you need to come back for this part. just kidding. By the way, I don't preach at any of you specifically, okay? I just, you know, in case you ever sit there and go, I think he's talking to me. See, no, it's just the Holy Spirit. But so this is the thing. You can go ahead and go, son. I give us thou permission. There's bad news, though. See, the bad news is you're rich. The bad news is it's really good news, but it's also bad news. Being rich can actually put us at a tremendous spiritual disadvantage. In fact, Jesus had a very meaningful conversation with a rich and powerful young guy, and his stuff and his money was so important to him that it hindered him, right? It kept him from becoming a disciple of Jesus. And this is what Jesus said. If you check this verse out, Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And so the good news is you're rich. You're blessed. The bad news is you're rich and you're blessed. See, it's a tremendous spiritual disadvantage sometimes. Why? Because you already have a roof over your head. You already have a pantry. You can buy whatever you want. even if it takes you to put it on your credit card. In recent years, see, you in recent years haven't had the privilege or the blessing of praying, God, give me today my daily bread, right? Because you already have a full pantry of food, and so you're missing out on seeing God provide for you. It's also a disadvantage because you're distracted. See, we have rich people options. We have rich people opportunities. We're so rich and blessed with opportunities. We're overwhelmed. We're exhausted. We're tired and often missing out on what really matters most. And if you don't believe me, just go to some developing nation, okay? And if you go on a mission trip or whatever, and it's an incredible experience. I mean, on the first day, I'm going to just tell you this, it happens to almost everyone in every situation. On the first day, day number one, you will be shocked. Your stomach will be turned at the extreme poverty. You won't believe what you see, and you'll feel so much sorrow and so much compassion for these people. But by day three or four, guess what? What you're going to find out is suddenly you realize, this epiphany happens, you realize that they have something that you don't. Mm-hmm. You realize that they've got time with people they love. They've got relationships, and they often have a really deep intimacy with God. And then you realize what they don't have that you do have really doesn't matter that much. See, because it's a stress and anxiety and the burden of managing all of our stuff. And so on day five or so, you might, you know, find a small part of yourself that's kind of jealous of their simplicity and their intimacy, of their love for one another, and their appreciation for the community and their adoration for God. See, it's a disadvantage sometimes to have so much. Another reason that it's a disadvantage is the Bible says, where much is given, what? Much is required. In other words, it's great that you're rich because you truly can enjoy what God has given you and the things that honor God, but God also expects more, and because we're rich, we truly have a greater responsibility. And so all the time we're rich, every moment, every day, culture shouts at us, what you don't have is what you need. What you don't have is what you need. See, the newer phone, the better TV, the brand new purse, the shoes, the watch, the sunglasses, the wallet, the jacket, the backpack, the speakers, the car, the flooring, the furniture, the countertops, accessories, the artwork. And see, all that stuff, because we haven't even talked about vacations, right? Because what you don't have is what you need. And that's why Jesus said to all of us, be on your guard. Why? Because a person's life, see, what really matters doesn't consist of the abundance of your stuff, your possessions. And here's what I know about you, because this is true about me. We know that in our heads, right, the problem is our lifestyles. You know, our lifestyles often do not reflect the truth. And if you're really, really honest, you might say, yeah, I'm spending more than I make. Why? Because I bought into the lie that more stuff out there really matters. If I can just get that, I'll be happy. And so the very way that most of us live in this culture today says what we believe is that more will make us happy. And here's what we have to understand. Whenever we believe that lie, and it comes at us all the time, every day, in every way. And I haven't said this in a long time, but I want to flip this coin just for a second and say, you know, it's not just people that have a lot of money that are always thinking about money. I want to say this. A lot of times, the people that I've met that don't have money and are bitter about it, they think and talk about money more than anybody else, more than people who do have money and you think they're consumed, because people who do, sometimes they can relax. But I just want to throw that out there, because it's not just people with money, but sometimes people who don't have it. But it's either way, this side or this side, it's pursuing it, right? So I wanted to throw that out there, and that wasn't in my notes, and that's why if it doesn't make sense, just scratch it, okay? But whenever we believe that our problems can be solved by money and stuff, we're under a curse. And so what I hope that you'll understand is this, that more money and stuff isn't going to help your kids stay off drugs. In fact, sometimes money can put them in a more susceptible place. Money isn't going to heal someone who has cancer. More money will not make your depression go away. More money will not save your marriage. But what we don't need is more of the temporary stuff. What we do need is more of what is eternal. We need more of the eternal. We don't need more money. We need more Jesus. We need more Jesus, people. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. See, I don't want to be, you know, under the power of something in this world. I want to be under the power of the living God. I want to be living in the blessings of the eternal God, living a life that's truly honoring Him. And every one of us, including myself, has to go through sometimes a scourging when we're getting off too far. When God says, you know what, Eddie, you're a little bit too focused on your life here. You're saving up for retirement, we're doing this, but remember, it's not about your kingdom, it's about mine. And sometimes we have to get back, and the Lord wants to show us some things by trials. And that's not what we're going to talk about today, but the thing is this. That's why I love what Paul told Timothy. He's been mentoring this young pastor, trying to lead him along into something that's better, and Paul's telling him to talk to the rich people. Paul tells him, hey, I want you to talk, Timothy, to the rich people. And when he's talking to the rich people, guess what? He's talking to you and I. You and me. Don't hear this as someone else being rich. Hear this as God's word to you. Paul tells Timothy, he says, command those who are rich. Who's that? That's me. Everybody say it. It's me. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. In other words, you know, don't think you're all that because you haven't. Nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but instead to put their hope in God, who does what? Who gives richly. He richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. See, in other words, don't feel guilty when you're rich. God gives it to you. God blesses. He's a good God. He loves us, and He loves to bless His children. He freely blesses His children. Like I said, my kids never worry and say to me, you know, oh, Dad, tomorrow, are you going to have food in the fridge? Are you going to, you know, let us live here or whatever? Are you going to throw us out tomorrow? You know, no, what? He blesses every day. He loves us, right? When you are faithful with a little, God blesses you with more. Some of you, you've just been faithful and you've taken what God gave you and you've stewarded it and you've maximized it, you've multiplied it, and it's a blessing. It's from God. Don't feel guilty, but do feel responsible. Don't feel guilty, but do feel responsible. God has blessed you, and it's not all for you. You have every right to enjoy it. You have every right to spend on your family, to have a nice place, to drive a nice car, to live a great life because God has blessed you with it, but it's not all for you. To whom much is given, much is required. And that's most of us, right? Most of us. Most is given. Much is given to most of us is what I'm trying to say. But much is actually expected too. That's the thing. And that's why God's commanded us in His Word to rich people, command them to do good, to be rich in, I don't even know if you know this, if you're there, good deeds. To be rich in good deeds. And rich people were better when we're generous, willing to share. And I love this, the rest of this passage. It says, in this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life, so that they may enjoy the depth of the blessing and the goodness, the character and the nature of our good God. Be generous, be willing to share, be rich in good deeds, so you can take hold of the life that is truly life. Here's something that I just want you to, I know we don't do this very often, right? A couple times a year, maybe, but there's something that I want you to internalize in your own hearts. And so there's a phrase that maybe you can say, and it's written on your outline. And I'll walk you through it little by little, but it goes like this. God has blessed me. All right. With more than I need. I'm rich. Say it again if you feel it. God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich, but I will not trust in my riches, but in Him who richly provides. Here it is. Because I have more, I will give more and do more. See, it feels good. It's really good news. You're rich. You're blessed. That's actually good news. But again, it can be a spiritual distraction. It can be a spiritual disadvantage. And more is expected of us. And so, I don't know about you, but everything in me, see, I want to live this out. My God has blessed me with more than I need, but I will not trust in this stuff, but I'm going to trust in the one who richly provides. And because He has given me more, with everything in me, I am called, equipped, empowered, and honored to give more and to do more. And so the temporary things of this world that promise, how many know, they do not deliver. Like, remember last week, what was it, what's that guy's name? Ace Ventura, Jim Carrey. He said, I think that everybody ought to get rich and famous and do everything they've ever dreamed of just so that they can realize that's not the answer. It's not the answer, right? So the temporary things, because you know what happens? They buzz, you know, there's this buzz, you get it, and then how many know the buzz wears off, and then 2 years later, you take it out of your closet and Marie Kondo it. All right, re-give it, someone else. And so, let's do something that matters, let's do something that lasts, let's make a difference, like only rich people can make a difference. Let's take what's been given to us and let's use it to the blessing, and maybe you'll help, you know, pay for your friend's rent anonymously. You know, be a blessing. I don't know. Maybe you'll grab some boxes and give a whole day helping somebody else move, right? Maybe you'll help one of our local mission partners, whatever, and you'll go out and you'll help unborn children and their moms. Maybe you'll do something like tomorrow night when you go out and help homeless people, give them a meal. Maybe you'll help with the children. Who knows? Maybe you'll save up your money and then you'll take a week of vacation and spend your money to go in another part of the world instead and spend that whole week serving people, and you'll come back and say, man, that was the greatest week of my entire life. I don't know, but God knows. And you know. And again, He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and to be willing to share. See, they will lay up treasures for themselves so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. See, one of the most shaping moments is going out and serving other people. And it can be incredible. I remember hearing this pastor was telling us this story, how that he went on a mission trip, and when he got there, his whole team was there. And the reason why this stuck is because, you know, those of you who know me a little bit, I mean, I've been eating. I don't eat meat right now. Okay. Anyway, that's everyone's. You know, I appreciate your persuasion, whatever you like. That's good for you. It's good for me. I hope to be a meat eater one day again. Anyway, that's not the issue. What I'm trying to say is, this guy, this pastor, he said, my wife just decided we're not eating meat anymore. And he said that was like the worst time of my life, right? And somehow, I don't know how, but that message got back to the mission field where he was. And he said one night we all got dinner And I noticed that the woman that was there served me something different because everybody else didn't have meat, but I had meat. And so he asked his interpreter, why is it that I have meat and everyone else doesn't? And the interpreter said, well, she heard that you love meat, but you don't have access to it. And what he really meant was his wife wouldn't let him have access to it, right? So he was blown away, and he says, well, you know, I can't eat this, nobody else. And he goes, oh, don't you dare not eat this, right? Because she saved her money for 4 months to be able to buy you this little piece of meat, and she even hasn't had meat in a year. And so he was like, wow, and he just said that through tears. He expressed his gratitude. And then she said through the interpreter that she feels was the best woman in her community because she just felt so great that she was able to give a man of God meat. And it's incredible when you think about the sacrifices of other people and what really matters in life, because our culture is never going to stop. What you don't have is what you need to truly be happy in life. That's the message. But Jesus said, watch out, because your life does not consist in the abundance of your stuff. And I don't know about you, but I know that I'm blessed. I'm rich. My God has blessed me with more than I need. And so I will not trust in my riches, but in Him who richly provides. And because I have more, church, because we have more, we will do more and we will give more in that, then we will find what life truly is. And that's how we're to be rich and honor God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, today we ask that you would help us, Lord. Just feel the honor and of your blessings in our life. The joy of enjoying what you've given us, Lord. It comes from you, and at the same time, God, help us to feel responsible to use it to make a difference in the lives of people in this world. And Jesus, as we reflect in prayer, those of us, Lord, who would say, maybe today, I didn't feel so rich a little bit ago when I came in here, but actually now I realize that I am rich, and I want to be rich in a way that honors you, Lord. If that's you today, there's nobody looking around, just raise your hand right now so we can pray together. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Just all over this room, Lord, thank you for your people who are recognize your goodness, your blessings in their life. Lord, we don't deserve them. We didn't earn them. We recognize that you are the source. We recognize, God, that you are calling us to steward those things. And I pray, God, for anyone that feels guilty of the blessings, that they would step over that guilt and recognize it comes from you. And because you give good gifts to your children, Lord, you give them freely to enjoy the blessings and every type of blessing that you have given. Lord, we thank you for that. At the same time, Jesus, we know that there is a sense of responsibility that we have because you've blessed us with these things. And we're here, we're a blessing to be a blessing, Lord. So for those of us, Lord, who are just realizing that we're a blessing to be a blessing, for those who may use their time maybe this week for the first time because they realize that they're rich in your blessings, I pray that you'd give us, Lord, eyes to see opportunities to be generous, to truly find life that is spiritual. Again, the Christian walk is not just to be dissected and intellectualized. You know, we don't just parse verses. We don't just, you know, study the Bible, but we're supposed to live out our faith, God, in pursuit of you. And I just pray that you'd help us to do that this week, Jesus. And of course, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, Lord, we just pray that today they would open their heart to receive your love and your grace and your mercy. And so, Lord, we're celebrating with our dads today, but I just pray that you'd help us to celebrate you more than ever. And we would do that not by our praise, even though that's awesome, but by living out a life that is worthy of the blessings that you've given us today, Jesus. And so, together, church, let's pray this prayer in case there's anybody here that wants to express their love and their concern and their need for you, Jesus, today. Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, I give you my life. Save me. Forgive all my sins. Make me brand new, Lord. You're what I'm looking for, Jesus. You're what I need. Fill me with your Spirit so I can live for you. My life is not mine. Lead me, Lord, to do good, to live generously, to show your love as you've given it to me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. He is good. So let's have the ushers come forward to relieve you of your healthy pockets. Just kidding. Whatever the Lord does between you and him. And so, Lord, we just ask again that you would help your people, as always, to be hilarious and cheerful givers as they give to you, not begrudgingly, but just because they acknowledge that you've really blessed us with so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you hear me? Okay. Just a couple quick announcements. First of all, fathers, we want to remind you, Ashley is going to be at the back table. There's a gift card for you to In-N-Out Burger. And there's an In-N-Out hat, because we know you guys want to wear those. And some red vines. So if you're a dad, we want you to head back there. If you're a man in this church that serves our kids every day, like John back there, we want you, John, because you're a father to many, to head back there and grab that. Also, earlier, Jessica and McKenna are our paid staff. It was their birthday this past week. We recognize them because they work with our children and our babies weekly, and they love our kids. Make sure you give them a hug. Also, a shout-out to Ephraim, who turned 14 this past week. Is that right, Ephraim? Is that right, 14? 14? So anyway, we just want to make sure that. And then also coming up in the month of July and August are camps for kids and teens. So please see Andriana and McKenna regarding camps. And last but not least, if you are a volunteer in any way in our church, we are going to be having a volunteer dinner at our home in August. So be looking for that, and we'll be inviting you to that as a volunteer. And again, Martha, if you have any questions about tomorrow night's dinner, please see Martha right after church. God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Amen.